The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Okay, I've been working on a bunch of different stories, but your newscast had me very, very busy. Because I wasn't planning on talking about any of these stories. Okay, so
well,
let me start.
I did my job.
Okay, I totally agree with you. So it what was the water treatment plant?
King County's wastewater treatment plant. So, yeah, so.
Okay, so to avert a disaster.
So there's a power outage.
Right.
Shut down the pumps at the West Point treatment plant.
Okay.
For 30 minutes.
Okay, and how much sewage did they have to pump into Puget Sound to avoid this disaster?
So they sent 3 million gallons of
sewage. That's what I thought I heard. Okay, so if somebody who owns a boat, if they dump gray water into Puget Sound, they can be fined hundreds of dollars. So I was trying to find out exactly how much the fine is. So I Googled it, and here's what comes up from the Department of Ecology, and it talks about no discharge zone, Puget Sound, you can't dump into the Sound. And then here's number 16. Is King County allowed to discharge raw sewage to Puget Sound? And the answer, King County is not allowed to discharge raw sewage from its West Point wastewater treatment plant and is under a legal order to control its combined sewer and stormwater overflows. That's the treatment plant where they just dumped 3 million gallons into Puget Sound?
Yes.
I am on the Washington State Department of Ecology website.
We need to get back on with DOE and ask what's going to happen.
Yeah, but I'm serious. If a small boater, somebody with a little 24-footer, if they dump into the Sound, they're going to get fined. But these stooges at King County who can't run anything, who can't run, what does Hensley always say? They couldn't run a two-car funeral. They can dump 3 million gallons in.
But I think it was this is the injury to take versus a much bigger one. For example, when there was 230 million gallons.
They're specifically prohibited. I think, and again, I'm just going off the top of my head because this is the first I've heard of the story. I think that the people who are responsible for the problem should have to, before they push any of it into Puget Sound, they should have to drink all of that raw sewage themselves. And then it'll be discharged through the normal sewer system. That's my solution.
Oh, man, this is when you're czar.
When I'm czar, yes. And the other thing when I'm czar, so it was a 14-year-old...
Yes, charged with first-degree robbery.
For stealing Hawaiian rolls.
Well, I think the part that was made at first-degree robbery is that she actually attacked a woman to get those rolls.
And the quote, according to the police, "You better give me the Hawaiian rolls or I'll knock you out." This is a 14-year-old girl.
What's happening to teenagers?
Oh, they've run amok. I'm telling you. Okay, when I'm czar, none of this will happen.
Okay, what would happen to this 14-year-old?
Caning.
Oh, God.
Yeah. We'll start.
Exact the same punishment that she gave to the...
Where do they do the caning? Is that Singapore? Is it Singapore?
I'm not even.
We're going to start caning the kid. I don't even believe in spanking children. But
I know. What has happened? What happened on this cruise?
Well, look, when you've gone so far that you're willing to knock somebody out over Hawaiian rolls, I believe a good public caning is in order.
Yeah, in all seriousness, though, if someone is willing to do that, I mean, it's granted they are young, but there's just like a lack of respect for life.
Yes. And those Hawaiian rolls, awful.
They're not that good.
No, they're awful.
Love them.
You don't want to mix sweet and rolls.
Ugh, they're
because
so good.
Rolls, you're going to want to put, often you want to put your leftover turkey and ham on
them. Yes, and that's delicious.
And you should never mix sweet and meat. Which is why I hate Asian food.
It's delicious.
No.
You're so missing out.
It's a sweet and sour mix. Sweet and salty.
And that's what's wrong with Asian food.
That's why he doesn't like pineapple on pizza, too.
Yes. Yes, exactly. This is all bonus material, because I wasn't planning on talking about any of this until I heard Ursula's newscast. Okay, a couple other things before I get into the big lead. At 1:30 this afternoon, I think you're really going to enjoy this. For the 75th anniversary of D-Day, we played old CBS audio from 75 years ago that day. Today, the 50th anniversary of the moonwalk, we are going to take you back 50 years, and you're going to hear all of that news, that momentous news, as it happened, as it was being broadcast live to the world. We'll take you back 50 years in time at 1:30 this afternoon. And with all of that as mere prelude, let's get right to the big lead.
The big lead, top story.
Okay, this whole Trump and the four congresswomen, I almost always start with local issues. And I do have very much a localization. But as I've been watching the madness of the coverage of this for the last 48, 72 hours, the one thing that strikes me more than anything is I'm hearing all these people who claim that they are so offended by the send her back chant. And every single one of those people is lying. There is not one person who was offended by that chant. So why does everybody say it? Why does the media play this game and act like it's something that was so horribly offensive? I'll get to that in just a couple of minutes. How do I know that it's all an act? Because it only offends when it's one side that is doing the chanting or doing the calls. And that's where I get this to a very local level. It was less than a week ago when a mentally deranged member of Antifa went to the Tacoma Detention Center with a long arm and with flares, and he started firebombing the buses that take the illegals away from that detention center for processing. And as he's, you know, firebombing these buses, the police are called. It's 4 o'clock in the morning. And the police ended up shooting and killing that member of Antifa. So what inspired such madness? Well, people like Pramila Jayapal, a member of Congress who has engaged in such wild rhetoric about these detention centers when she, you know, made a comparison like this.
These conditions within the Border Patrol and ICE facilities that were horrendous, not having clean drinking water, in some cases for 5 days, you know, being put into what they have nicknames for these facilities. They call them the ice box because the temperatures are kept so cold. Many of the women come across the Rio Grande River, so they're wet. And then they're put into these icebox facilities with no blankets, no mats. Another one that they call the dog pound because it looks like a kennel with cages that they are held in.
Okay, so you have a Seattle congresswoman who is so inflammatory in her rhetoric about these federal law enforcement facilities. And words like hers bore their way into the mentally deranged brain of this Antifa guy who decides he's going to go and firebomb the Tacoma facility, and he gets shot and killed. Where's the media? Where's the media on, I mean, because what happened at that Trump rally? Trump didn't even say anything himself at that rally. He tweeted something a couple of days earlier. But Trump's talking, a bunch of his supporters start chanting, send her back, about Ilhan Omar. And all of a sudden, Trump has to denounce the chanters. Trump has to say, I wasn't happy about it. Trump is held accountable for words. Is a Seattle congresswoman held accountable for actions? For a man dying, for a man who is mentally deranged and set off by inflammatory rhetoric like hers? Is there any demand for Pramila Jayapal to apologize, to renounce what she said, to admit that her rhetoric very possibly led to the death of a human being? But if you listen to the media, most in the media, except me, then Trump supporters saying words that offended nobody. And yes, I'll get back to that. Because I know a lot of people, I was offended. No, you weren't. You're lying. If you say you were offended by those words, you're lying. I'll get back to that. But Trump has to denounce it. But here you have a Seattle congresswoman, and the place that she complains about leads to the death of a human being. And there's not a peep. There's no held accountability. There's no, do you want to revisit what you said? Why? Because she's a Democrat. Because she's a Democrat. You know, when AOC said about Trump.
Well, I think the president put millions of Americans in danger last night. His rhetoric is endangering lots of people. This is not just about threats to individual members of Congress, but it is about creating a volatile environment in this country through violent rhetoric.
He didn't put anybody in danger. Except in the prisons of their own minds, where they make up all kinds of stuff. Is anybody calling out the Montana senator, John Tester, who went on MSNBC earlier today?
And I don't think, even in states where Donald Trump won big, that it does you any good running away from Donald Trump. I think you need to go back and punch him in the face. I mean, the truth is this guy is bad for this country.
Whoa, a U.S. senator says that Donald Trump, the president of the United States, should be punched in the face. What outrageous rhetoric! We're going to demand that he apologizes because he's put the president in... No, nobody says a word. Why? Because he's a Democrat. He can say anything he wants, and he won't be held accountable by the media. Why? Because the media themselves are as hypocritical and two-faced as is humanly possible. How about this? Earlier today, CNN, where they had a guest named Tiffany Cross.
A candidate who has made his entire campaign about white identity politics, about how white people are getting the short end of the stick, and he has backed that up with racist rhetoric, racist policies, racist action, and this is the camp you're in, then you do identify with some level of racism. You do fall in the category of white supremacy. You cannot back a racist and then say, no, but I don't I only support X, Y, and Z, but I don't.
So, according to a CNN guest, every single Trump supporter is a white supremacist. That's what she said. Why, she just endangered the lives of millions of Americans by saying that. She put a target on their backs. No, she didn't. She's just some moron with an opinion. But because she said it about Trump supporters, CNN didn't say, whoa, back off on the rhetoric. You're saying that 100 million Americans are white supremacists? Of course they don't call her out on that. But you have several hundred people in North Carolina chanting, send her back, and they go berserk for 48 hours. They have gone mad. Also on CNN, their host, Chris Cuomo.
He says he has to get the word out. Be clear what his word is. Trump says he wants to make America great again. But what he means is make America hate again.
Oh, what a turn of a phrase. So wait a second. Chris Cuomo, CNN main host. Every single Trump supporter wants to hate, is filled with hate. That's what you're saying. Why, isn't that inflammatory rhetoric? Aren't you putting a target on their... Oh, no, no, no. You're talking about people on the right. So that's okay. But I tell you what, though. Some people chat, send her back, about Ilhan Omar, who is an incredibly dangerous person to have in Congress. I mean, she is, as Brooke Goldstein, a great analyst, said last night, she is a modern-day neo-Nazi, as she has sponsored this BDS, the Boycott, Divestment, and Sanction Movement against Israel. the one that compares Israel to Nazi Germany. Israel is Nazi Germany in the eyes of Ilhan Omar. You have a raging anti-Semite, Rashida Tlaib, raging anti-Semite. And are they called out for their racist hatred? No, no. They're Democrats. They're allowed to racially despise people. They're allowed to be the modern-day neo-Nazis. It's all theater. Okay, so now let's get back to not one person was offended by that send her back chant. And I truly believe that. All of the people who claim to be so offended, whether it's Chris Cuomo or any of those MSNBC nuts or any of the people walking around Seattle who claim that they were so offended. No, they weren't. But it is critical to the left, and I'm talking about the leftists, to make everybody feel like a victim. And it's working. A new poll out this afternoon. 38% of Democrats say they do not believe the American dream is achievable. 38%. The truth is, the American dream is achievable for almost everybody. But when you have heard every second of your life that you're a victim because of your gender, you're a victim because of your race, you're a victim because of your religion, you're a victim because of your sexual preference, whatever. When you are told by everybody in the media, and in, you know, very possibly your families, if you come from a whack job leftist family, if you're told every second of your life that you're a victim, then you're a victim. And you have no chance. And I said a couple of days ago, I would rather have a kid with a physical disability than to have a kid who's been told every day of their life they're a victim. Because you can overcome. You can overcome physical challenges. You cannot overcome the prison of your own mind. And that's what all of this is about. That's why you've got a free pass for Pramila Jayapal when she says stuff that is directly connected to a fire bomber Antifa guy. Has Jay Inslee, has any Democrat presidential contestant been asked to denounce Antifa? I haven't heard it. I did a big search. I haven't heard one Democrat being demanded by the media to denounce and renounce Antifa for its violence, for beating a gay Asian journalist down in Portland 3 weeks ago, for the firebombing of the detention center. It's all theater. Every single bit of it. They're all liars. And that is your big lead for today.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Woo. We're just getting started. I'm working up lather here. Okay, we're going to check the news for you, and they've got a lot of other local news to get to as we extend our Big Lead into the next segment of the Dory Monson Show. To hear your thoughts on all the stuff we're discussing. The Online Trading Academy text line is 98973. That's 98973. I mentioned after taking 2 weeks off, I was back on the show on Wednesday, and I flagged a bunch of stories that I knew I wanted to comment on upon my return. And this is one that I've been champing at the bit to talk about, because not one person in any of the media sources that I've been studying has revealed the true cause for this unbelievable spending budget explosion in the Seattle schools. And if you don't live in Seattle, this has also been trending in all the school districts here in the Puget Sound area. But last Wednesday, the Seattle School District approved its new budget. And for the first time ever, the Seattle schools budget is over $1 billion. $1 billion. And I saw Danny Westnead at the Times. He divided the total budget, $1.044 billion, by the projected enrollment for this fall, 51,560. Seattle schools are spending more than $20,000 per student. I want you to think about that. $20,000 per student. Cheaper to enroll your kid in most private schools. But of course, you still have to pay all the taxes that fund the public schools. The Seattle school budget has gone up by 39% over the last 3 years. They were, 3 years ago, they spent $14,000 per student. And now it's exploded from $14,000 to $20,000 per student. And not one person has identified the two reasons why. I mean, everybody knows one reason. The teachers got these massive, unsustainable raises. But that's only part of it. Do you know what the other part is? I'll get to it in about 2 minutes. Text me in the next minute, 98973, if you know the other reason why the budget has exploded in the Seattle schools. And by the way, it is the reason that nobody in the district and no politician wants you to know about. So now Seattle is number three in the nation in school spending per student. New York spends $25,000 per kid. Boston, $22,000. Seattle will be at $20,000 per student. And they said that this budget, this billion-dollar budget, is $100 million underfunded. They need even more money to get up to $1 billion. So let's do the math. Your kid, let's say you got a fourth grader, 25 kids in the classroom. The taxpayers are spending $500,000 for that classroom of 25 kids. I mean, that's staggering. The teacher gets with benefits anywhere between $80,000 to $100,000. So then you have another $400,000. Hey, you got the building, got to heat it. You've got bloated administration, but everybody knows about that. What's the real reason? Oh, whoa. From the 425, you got it. Because of all the illegals in the schools. How many? Oh, we don't know. We're not allowed to ask. We're a sanctuary city. Jay Inslee won't allow us to ask. Dow, the crook, Constantine, he won't allow us to ask. Jenny Durkin won't allow us to ask. We're sanctuary. Do you know how much it costs to educate a kid who doesn't speak English? The interpreters that have to be hired, the special help. And because of this, and that's why they want to keep these numbers secret. That's why they're not allowed. But I know the schools, and I know the facts of all of this. If you have a gifted child who deserves to be lifted up in STEM programs or whatever else, you get frustrated as heck because there just aren't resources for your kid. If you're an illegal, the resources are unlimited. They're unlimited. And they cost a fortune. And I would submit for your consideration that things are just a little bit backwards when the taxpaying American citizen kids get dramatically shortchanged because of the phenomenal amount of money we have to spend on illegals in our schools. Now, again, there's another reason why nobody will allow the numbers to be tallied. Nobody will allow any accounting of how many are in the schools, but everyone knows. I mean, if you're a parent in not just Seattle, but most surrounding school districts, you know the resources. You know that we're probably spending almost twice as much on the illegals or the children of illegals in our schools than on the American citizen kids. But that's a number they will always work diligently to hide from us because, again, it doesn't play with their agenda. And all Democrats care about, I've talked about this a lot the last couple of days, they measure success not by how many addicts get clean, not by how many homeless get housed, not by how many hungry get fed. They don't care about any of that. They don't measure success by how much gridlock is eliminated. They measure success in one way and one way only. How many tax dollars did we get? We're going to toll downtown. We're going to toll every state in the street. Every street in the state. we're going to get an income tax. We're going to just get more money. How's it being spent? We're not allowed to ask questions. Can't know that. So I'm impressed. I'm impressed. A lot of people, and yeah, there's a lot of bloated administration. A lot of people text that in. But what I just told you is the one hidden cost that is so incredibly significant that nobody wants us to know about. Okay, I got a lot of other news to get to. Oh my God, what do I got here? Oh, the latest on Dow and Mitzi at the top of King County. Wait until you hear this coming up next. And as we watchdog local government as best we can, because they like operating in darkness, you know. But what's being revealed at the very top of King County, it's really disturbing. You know, and it started a couple of months ago when we broke the story on our show about the King County executive, Dow Constantine, and how he uses his executive protection detail as his private Uber so he can go out drinking, according to our sources, most nights. Drinking, allegedly womanizing. And there's a guy who in 2012, he's lived with a woman for many, many, many years, and he was exposed for having an affair. Now, that's not illegal. I think it's sleazy. But, you know, our sources say that he's out drinking and womanizing many, if not most, nights. And it's on the public dime. That's why I care about it. If he wasn't using King County Sheriff's highly trained executive protection unit, I wouldn't care what an adult does on his free time. I think it's disturbing if he's drinking. I mean, I'd love to know to what extent he's drinking, because I do think that that's a public safety issue if there was ever a natural disaster or terror attack or anything like that. So you got that. And then a couple of days ago, the Seattle Times had the story about how Dow Constantine is alleged by a former King County Parks person that Dow Constantine is alleged to have steered millions of dollars in concession contracts at the Mary Moore Park concerts and when the Cirque du Soleil performs there, that he was steering it to his buddy and campaign donor, David Meinert. Meinert's a Seattle restaurateur, nightclub owner, and at least 11 women have accused Meinert of anything from sexual misconduct to sexual assault. And that's who's allegedly getting millions of dollars in proprietary contracts funneled at the behest of Dow Constantine. That's what's being alleged. And as I said on Twitter last night, Dow Constantine has always, always, always built his career on one thing and one thing only. He wants to be the governor of Washington. And I think that his house of cards is falling in very, very rapidly. And then you have the sheriff of King County. And, you know, I backed off for a long time because Nicole was trying to get her to come on the show to honor her promise. Because when she was campaigning, Mitzi Jo Hanknik, she, you know, made a promise to me.
Would you always pick up the phone and come on my show if there was any issue, even if it was an embarrassing one for you or the department?
Absolutely.
Every time. You will always
Every
come
time.
On. Every time. Well, for 3.5 months now, she's refused to come on the show. Ever since we broke the Dow Constantine story, she's refused to come on the show. And there are a lot of more legitimate questions. One of the people that Dow Constantine thought was a source for our coverage, allegedly Dow Constantine has been retaliating against the guy. The guy was not one of our sources, but Dow thinks he was. Mitzi Jo Hanknik sent a inner office memo that said, there will be no retaliation for anybody who talked to Cairo Radio. But now we're getting word that there is retaliation, allegedly. And then we have some other disturbing things with Mitzi Jo Hanknik that we'll be telling you about as we develop these stories in the next couple of weeks. But a lot of people have been coming forward to me, to Carolyn Osorio, our reporter, with tips. And I heard from somebody that I know and trust yesterday, and they said the King County Sheriff's Office is in shambles. That a lot of people who supported Mitzi Jo Hanknik are now horrified at what's happened. And, you know, the soundbite I just played for you. When you are that clearly, that obviously a liar, and you are the top cop in the county, that's a real problem. When you run the public agencies that have to be the most forthright, honest, and I'm talking about police departments, and you are clearly a liar at the very top, that's a problem for your agency. And that's too bad because there are a lot of great men and women who work for the King County Sheriffs. So we got some real problems. Dow and Mitzi at the top of King County. We'll keep you posted on all of that. And the Fastest 15 is next.